I too would like to welcome everyone back this Sunday evening. In some ways, what Rob talked about this morning in his lesson will be kind of complementary. Let me say that differently. What we're going to be talking about tonight will be complementary to some degree to what he was talking about this morning. Also appreciate the song he led, Count Your Blessings, because that will come up a little bit later on. Okay, a couple days after Thanksgiving, okay, national holiday, and a time where it's, you know, relatively easy to be thankful. I mean, you may have, you know, family and friends over, out-of-town relatives, etc. Looking forward to, you know, a good meal, you know, turkey, ham, whatever the case may be. You know, pumpkin pie, pecan pie, German chocolate cake. Thank you, Paula. Appreciate that. And, you know, good afternoon spent in, you know, visiting or watching football or in your favorite team wins. You know, it's easy to be thankful. But life is not always like that, is it? Sometimes it's hard to be thankful. Sometimes things don't go the way they're planned, do they? Now, you women, the guys in the audience go, oh, yeah, that's pretty bad. No problem. We'll go get pizza. But the women in the audience, catastrophe, social catastrophe here, right? And, you know, there's the coming and the going and the preparing and getting things done just right and, you know, an unexpected phone call or interruption or the kids are squabbling or something goes wrong with the oven and things go bad, right? And at least in terms of the recording, what I've got here are some pictures from various Thanksgiving occasions. On the far left, I don't know if you can tell or not, but that's what's left of a turkey. I don't even think Virgil would eat that. We're talking burnt offerings, right? These little briquettes in the middle, I think those are supposed to be dinner rolls, or what's left of dinner rolls. And this little charred remain over here, I can't tell. I mean, it's obviously a pie of some kind, but, you know, it might be apple or whatever. Okay. And, you know, if you're the hostess, or if you're preparing the food, or people are waiting around to be served, whatever, you know, this is bad. Very embarrassing, you know, so like I said, social catastrophe. It's hard to be thankful when your, you know, Thanksgiving meal turns out that way, right? Simple example. Okay. There are times when it's hard to be thankful, which is what we're talking about tonight. So let's first of all start off by looking at some relatively simple synonyms or related terms for being thankful, giving thanks, Thanksgiving, we've already mentioned, being grateful, having gratitude, being joyful, having joy, being appreciative, being relieved, you know, depending on the situation, all kind of synonyms for this emotion or this attitude, which we're going to be talking about more tonight. And certainly within scriptures, as Rob noted this morning, you know, there are a lot of scriptures that talk about the need to be thankful, admonitions to be thankful, etc. Here's kind of a sampling. Psalm 69, verse 30, talking about praising the name of God, magnify him with thanksgiving. Likewise, Psalms 95, verse 2, come before his presence with thanksgiving, joyful noise. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving, praise, be thankful, bless his name, etc. New Testament, likewise, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And before I leave this particular slide, you notice there are some things that are red, like everything, always, all things. Keep that in mind as we go forward. Some more. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the word, that rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Again, always in red. Continuing on, Colossians 4:7, talking about abounding with thanksgiving. Colossians 3:17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, as it goes on to say, giving thanks, etc., etc. Lots of verses. Giving thanks, thankful attitude, abounding, thanksgiving, always and everything, all things. And then you go back to the picture of the turkey and you go, yeah, I don't know about that one, right? But nonetheless, admonitions to be thankful. Revelation 7:12, blessing, glory, wisdom, and thanksgiving, etc., be to our God forever and ever. Amen. So no argument about that. We're encouraged, commanded to be thankful. Right? Okay. Now, it's easy to be thankful for certain things or certain situations. Right? Easy. No brainer. Right? And I threw several here together. I'll just kind of go down through them relatively quickly. Having or finding or developing a good friend, when someone says something is nice to you, give you a compliment. You barely miss getting run over by a semi. Whoa! Yeah. Unexpected bonus, unexpected promotion, unexpected thank you. Something's going on, airplane rides. Oh, yeah. Turbulence. Yuck. Landing. Woo! Glad that's over. Birth of a healthy child, grandchild, etc., especially after a difficult pregnancy. And many other things that you could probably think of. It's easy to be thankful, to be grateful, to rejoice, to be joyous, etc. In these situations. And many others, you could probably think of. But there are other situations and other things where you look at them and you go, that's not easy. For instance, and this will kind of represent the three main areas we're going to be talking about tonight. Some things that are often taken for granted. We'll talk about those as one class or group. We'll talk about, and I'm not exactly certain what term to put here, unpleasant things. And that'll be kind of a broad term, but you'll understand it in a few moments. Third category, when our faith is challenged. And I'll kind of explain more about that when we get there. So basically three buckets of things I thought of, and you can likewise probably think of things as well. When, it's kind of challenging, it's kind of hard to be thankful in these situations. Even though the verses we just got through reading said, yes, you need to be thankful. This is where it gets tough, okay? Things we easily take for granted. Okay, and you could probably think of a lot more, but here, let me just kind of throw a bunch of these up here. Any more? Several. Yep. Okay. Now, some of these are, I don't know if you would call them utilities. I mean, light, heat, air conditioning, indoor plumbing, running water, hot showers. Yeah. Okay. Others are more, I don't know, modern technology kinds of things. Cars, refrigeration, supermarkets and shopping malls, certainly phones, smartphones, internet, computers, etc. Others are like there. They're just there. They're always there. Almost invisible. The air we breathe, nice weather, sunrises and sunsets. Don't know if you saw the one this evening. Almost as good. No, actually, the live one was better than the picture Rob had this morning. Real pretty sunset. Nice clouds, etc. They're always there, and we just tend to take them for granted, like our health or our senses. Taste, touch, smell, hearing, whatever. Love of parent or spouse. God's love, Jesus' love, etc. And it's like, almost always, not always, but almost always, they're here. And because they're here, almost always, we take them for granted. So, and you can probably think of others, right, that we tend to, they're just there. They're always there. I mean, you go to flick on the switch and the light comes on. You go to get up for work and the alarm clock goes off. And the car starts and the garage door opens and the traffic lights work, whatever, et cetera. And as we said, why is it hard to be grateful for these things? Well, they're almost always there. And in abundance. Almost never fail. Almost never fail. Right? And you only notice them when they do fail, which is pretty rare. Right? How can we be more thankful in those kinds of situations? Well, thank you, Rob. Smell the roses. We talked about that this morning. Sometimes in the hustle and bustle of life, we get, wrapped up in things and coming and going and distracted, cares of this life, Luke 8:14, Luke 21:34. And sometimes we need to, almost literally, figuratively for sure, slow down, take a few moments, and quote unquote, smell the roses. Take stock of what we have. or travel certainly can broaden your horizons to some degree, especially, you know, third world countries, like some of the photos that Alan brings back from Malawi as an example, and their living conditions as an example. And, you know, we think in some cases, you know, we have it hard up here, but then you see by comparison, it's like, oh, they don't have carpet in their church buildings, and they don't have central air conditioning, and the farm animals just kind of come and go, as an example. Yeah. Prodigal son, Luke 15, traveled to a foreign country and kind of found himself in the hog pen for a moment. Volunteering to help the less fortunate can also kind of give you a new perspective on the abundance of things you tend to take for granted. I mean, we have the story of the Good Samaritan, you know, Luke 15. Yesterday, I took Alan's article on sympathy, empathy, being merciful, and published that to the website, to the blog. And that's kind of in a sense of having, developing a sense of mercy for those that are less well off. I just threw in the bottom one here, and, you know, I'm not talking, you know, RV camping with those big 60-foot bus-sized things with your satellite dish and the hot tub, you know, living room that kind of goes out on hydraulics and the stereo and the 60-inch TVs. No. Tent-style camping, backpack-style camping. You leave all that stuff behind and you realize, well, you know, maybe it's not so bad. Or you realize when you get back, it's sure nice to have a hot shower, for example. But, you know, as an example. You know, and you could probably think of other things as well that would cause us to kind of stop, pause, think, and reflect on things that we might normally take for granted. Okay, so that's the first of the three categories. Here comes the second of the three categories. And this is a little bit harder still. Unpleasant things. And you say, well, okay, Jeff, well, what do you mean by that? Well, let's just go ahead and put the list up here. Okay. Unpleasant. Again, I didn't quite like that title, but it kind of encompasses a lot of things. Things you wouldn't normally look at and go, yeah, give me more of that. Yuck. Right? I mean, you hear it's the time of year you'd be coughing and sneezing and running nose, and the kids get it and they get all goopy eyed and blah, right? And, you know, cold and flu season, here's a classic picture, okay? You know, who gets real excited and thankful about getting to go to the dentist? Okay. Especially if your tooth is hurting. Drilling root canals, yeah, that's hard to be thankful for that. Test at school you don't do well on, getting pulled over a traffic ticket, you know, instead of being promoted or got the job raised, no, you got passed over for promotion, for instance. Or you lost your job. Or you got involved in that traffic accident, etc. Having your purse or wallet stolen, having your house broken into, etc. Getting into arguments with other people. Now we're kind of up in the game in these latter periods, beyond just quote unquote unpleasant. Divorce, cancer, diabetes, aging. As I think Martha likes to say, aging is not for wimps, right? That's your phrase. It's a pain. It's a pain growing older. In multiple ways, often at the same time, right? It's hard to be thankful for those kinds of things. Right? Death of a loved one. I mean, you can probably think of others in the same category where you look at these and you go, yeah, how can I be thankful like God tells me to be thankful in situations like this? It's hard, right? Hard stuff. Why? Well, any number of different reasons, but a lot of them are just, you might say, disruptive or aggravating or frustrating. Sometimes they're upsetting. Sometimes they're painful, either mentally or physically. Sometimes there's some pride of life involved when you get your feelings hurt, for instance, or loss of a certain degree of identity and being fired from your job, whatever. Hard to be thankful in those kind of scenarios, situations. How to be more thankful? Well, Rob kind of touched on this morning. Thank you very much. Prayer certainly has to be up there pretty high on the list. Philippians 4:6. Which we talked about this morning, you know, be anxious for nothing, everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made unto God. particularly in situations where, I mean, you can ask God, but particularly in situations where, you know, some things are outside your control, or they're outside your influence, and you're just, you know, along for the ride, and you're nowhere near the driver's seat or the steering wheel. It's just like, Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication, watching thereunto, all perseverance, supplication for all the saints. So certainly prayer has a role to play in these kind of situations. Here's some more. Be humble and be willing to accept help graciously. I can't remember if it's Rob that has the phrase, you know, don't deny the giver. I don't know if that's yours or Carl's. One of you. You know, if something happens and you need some help, you know, there's a certain degree of, you know, humility that has to be kind of expressed there, and being willing to accept help graciously. 1 Peter 5:5. Be subject one to another, clothed with humility. God resists the proud, giveth grace to the humble. So, and you know, it is certainly an opportunity for someone else to. Opportunity. Interesting word. We'll come back to that in a few moments. To help. And that's certainly something you can be thankful for. Sometimes these quote-unquote unpleasant things are temporary. Sometimes they're not, but sometimes they are. At least temporary as we view it in terms of, you know, days, weeks, kind of thing. 2 Corinthians 4:18 talks about, you know, things that are seen are temporary, things that are not seen are eternal. And a phrase that I don't believe is in the Bible, but you kind of wish it was, because it makes a lot of sense, and this too shall pass, at least according to the internet check I did. Evidently that comes back from a Persian adage. Some things are temporary. Okay. And some things may indeed have a quote-unquote silver lining. 2 Corinthians 4:17 kind of touches on that to some degree, talking about light affliction, at least by comparison, which is but for a moment, has the benefit working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I think the context there is persecution, but that can apply in general to other situations. Trying to see the silver lining in the unpleasant burnt turkey to kind of make it not trivialize it, but yeah, there may be a silver lining there. You know, back to aging for just a moment, you know, in terms of joints and cataracts and heart disease and all those kinds of things and diabetes, and, well, at least in terms of modern technology, hey, you know, hip replacement, knee replacements, and diabetic treatments and heart kind of things that can be medical things that can help out, certain silver lining perhaps. Here's some more. Job. So we're studying Job downstairs. James 5:11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord. The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. We studied, I think it was today, if I remember right, what actually happened to Job. Actually, last Sunday and this Sunday. And if you equate it in modern terms, just real briefly, it's like, okay, you got this very successful, very wealthy, very influential businessman who overnight gets wiped out. I'm just wiped out. Business, gone. Savings, gone. Pension, gone. 401k, stocks, bonds, gone. Ability to earn a living, gone. And had this, you know, loving extended family. Dead. Every single one of them, except for his wife. On the same day. That's hard. That's hard. Not to mention round two, which we talked about, right? With, of all the different, you know, diseases and conditions and illnesses, whatever, that Satan chose to stick him with. You know, crown of his head, sole of his foot, every part of his body, you know, sore, itching, boils. No relief, no way to sleep, blah, etc. Okay. Bad. I don't know how to say it. It's just bad. Count your blessings. Thank you, Rob. Like I said, appreciate you leading that one. An interesting quote from Helen Keller. I cried because I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet. And I pulled off a couple, you know, photos off the internet. some kind of, you know, person here in distress, beggar, you know, begging for, you know, food or whatever. Real bad shit. How about the shoes over here? You know, I like the caption. Please tell me again how hard your life is. I'm not certain what those are. There's some kind of soda bottles. He's wearing the shoes to protect his feet. Count your blessings. Like the song says, when upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. No surprise at what the Lord hath done. Okay, so that was part two. When things are unpleasant. And as we said, the degree of unpleasantness can range from, you know, relatively minor annoyances to extreme, traumatic, catastrophic problems. And still the need to remain thankful. Okay, third category. Challenges to our faith. A variety of couple different things here. And let me just go ahead and put them up here, and you can kind of be reading them. Actually being bullied or being put down, or actually having a true enemy, someone who hates you, someone who's out to get you. Or being confronted, especially within our society. Oh, you believe in God? You believe in some supernatural guy up there on the throne who's, you know, pulling the strings on everything? The Bible? 2,000 plus years old? Pretty archaic. Creation? You believe in creation? Not evolution? What's wrong with you? Global flood, etc. You know, being called names, etc. To, you know, perhaps some extreme, you know, being forced, you know, making choices. Okay, you can choose between, you know, your job and God. That's a big challenge. Friends and God. Being between fellow Christians sometimes and God. Between family and God. This is getting pretty tough. Unpleasant things, okay, but now this is sort of like striking at the core of who we think we are, or who we believe we are, or who we think we owe our allegiance to, etc. Striking at the core of that. So we got a letter. I got a letter. Actually, a photograph. And I know you can't read it, but I just plopped it in there. From, you may have heard, Prince over in India. So he made a copy of this letter that he received and sent it over to me. The symbol up there in the top right corner is associated with Hinduism, in case you were wondering. So this letter, allegedly, is from a group called RSS, which is an abbreviation for three big words that I really can't pronounce, but it is a Hindu nationalist group. Not really the group in power, but it's like the group behind the group in power in India currently. And, of course, if you pick up on Hindu nationalist, okay, so identity of India associated with Hinduism and the, quote-unquote, erosion of Hinduism to Muslims as well as Christians. So it's pretty much an anti-Muslim, anti-Christian group. In this letter, allegedly, it is encouraging people to burn all Christian Bibles. Evidently, there's a monetary reward to kill Christian religious leaders. There's encouragement to mix pesticides in water resources used by Christians in order to kill them. And there's some other things in here about, I won't go into details, that you should do to Christians to discourage them from, you know, doing their thing. And, of course, this is in India. Okay. Elsewhere. Okay, so now we have top right corner, the moon and star associated with Islam. An example, Saudi Arabia. Islamic State, got a quote here. Christians are arrested and lashed in public for practicing their faith openly. Not only that, but Muslims are forbidden to convert to another religion. And if one does so and does not recant, they can be executed according to the laws of the land. Suicide bomber 2016 in Pakistan. Group to claim responsibility said it intentionally targeted, quote unquote, Christians. Of course, this is in a global perspective, celebrating Easter Sunday. Pretty bad. Continuing on. Got this graphic off the internet, and it's a little fuzzy, but basically it portrays Muslim countries, or countries where Muslim is dominant, where in the worst case, the death penalty is in place in law for apostasy. In this context, apostasy from Islam, by conversion to Christianity. That's this kind of darkish red. You can be thrown in prison for converting, loss of child custody, marriage, etc. Or it's at least a crime. So, Middle East, Northern Africa, for sure. Indonesia, islands, whatever. And again, Islam.
Anti-Christian kind of thing.
Symbol, top right. You may recognize the hammer and sickle associated with communism. Typically an atheistic state. Of which there are still some, believe it or not. Several out there. How about North Korea? They've been in the news recently. Pulled this information off the internet. Quote, unquote, it leads the list of 50 countries in which, again, quote, unquote, generally speaking, Christians are persecuted. Currently estimated that 50,000 Christians in North Korea are locked inside concentration camps because of their faith. And in general, from this website called Open Doors, worldwide, about 215 million Christians, again, general term, very high extreme persecution, North Korea number one for 14 straight years, and of course, Islamic extremism around the globe, although not just Islamic extremism, because we also have some growing Hindu extremism, as well as, of course, North Korea, communistic, atheistic, etc. Bad. It's real bad out there. Out there. Here we got it easy. Well, yeah, we kind of do, for the moment. Again, on the topic of, you know, being thankful. So in some ways we can be thankful for what we do have here in terms of religious freedoms, freedom of association, freedom of religion, etc. But as has been often said, it may not always be that way. So just like you have global anti-Christian sentiment, if you will, coming from Hinduism or Islam or atheism, etc., we have what appears to be some rising persecution here at home. In case you're not familiar with it, icon on the top right is a typical rainbow flag. You'll see a common theme with most of these. So you can typically, these days, be sued and fined for, as a business owner, refusing to provide custom services to clients. And in this case, clients being typically homosexual couples that want to get married, want to have wedding venue, cakes, custom photography, etc. In Colorado, 2012, guy by the name of Jack Phillips and his bakery. That case is currently pending before the Supreme Court. We'll see how that turns out. New Mexico photographer, 2012, fined over $6,000. Vermont Inn, run by Catholics, was fined $13,000 for refusing to host a same-sex wedding. Another baker up in Oregon fined $144,000 in 2013. Florist in Washington State, $1,000 in 2015. Wedding chapel in Iowa, fined $5,000 in 2015. And basically with all the bad press and negative threats and whatever, they were forced to close. All for trying to follow their religious convictions. Well, let's keep on going. How about being sued or fired for disagreeing with gay marriage? Got a human resources vice president at the University of Toledo, 2008. You may or may not recall the case of Kim Davis, Kentucky County Clerk in 2017, when the law was changed in the state of Kentucky. I think she, for religious convictions, refused to go along with it. And I don't remember if she was sued or fired, but certainly made national news. Keep going. October 2016, that's slightly more than a year ago, Massachusetts churches will be in violation of state law if they use names, pronouns, gender-related terms that conflict with a person's stated gender identity. Churches will also be in violation of law if they do not accommodate gender-confused, this is their quote, not mine, gender-confused individuals by allowing them to use restrooms consistent with their gender identities. Lawsuits were immediately filed, exempting religious organizations, this same month, with the U.S. District Court, pending. See how that turns out. How do we be thankful for these kinds of things? Challenges to our faith, particularly since they strike so deep to our core beliefs. Well, why is it hard for starters? Well, you know, in some ways, we like to be sociable. We like to get along. We don't want to cause trouble. We don't want to rock the boat. you know, when it comes to, like, enemies and such, yeah, there's a certain pride of life. You know, we can certainly get our feelings hurt. There certainly is a natural desire to strike back and get revenge, etc. And that's some of the things that contribute to why these are hard in terms of challenges to our faith. But what can we do about it? Well, some things to be thankful for, or ways of being thankful. And if you notice, most of these here begin with the same word. Opportunities to grow stronger in our faith. Opportunities to strengthen our patience and self-control. Opportunities to let our light shine. Opportunities to suffer for Christ. You know, that sounds good, saying that in a friendly audience like we have here tonight. Emotionally, that's kind of hard when someone's in your face or yelling at you or screaming at you or threatening you with a lawsuit or bullying you or calling you an enemy or calling you a stupid Christian or whatever the term you want to use there. And yet, what do the scriptures say? Well, James 1, 2 through 4. It says it, it's hard to do it. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Trying of your faith worketh patience. Luke 6, 22 and 23. Blessed are ye when men hate you, separate you from their company, reproach you, cast out your name as evil. Rejoice. Yeah, rejoice. That's a hard one. Rejoice ye in that day. Leap for joy. All your reward is greater than heaven. Easy to read, easy for me to say. Challenging is to actually have that attitude, being thankful. Let's keep on going. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 16. Think it, and I don't know if you could apply that to our time today. Maybe. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you in your future. As though some strange thing was happening unto you, but again, rejoice in so much as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings. You may be glad also with exceeding joy if you're approached in the name of Christ. Happy are ye. Let none of you suffer as a, you know, evildoer, but if a man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Natural tendency, right? Let him glorify God on this behalf. I know what it says. Challenge is putting it into practice. It's there. Can we learn from it? Can we do it? That's the question. So, what can we conclude? So, we certainly have a lot of admonitions to always have a grateful, thankful, joyful attitude. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Even when you burn the biscuits. And we kind of laugh at that. But even when things are going bad, and I mean like real bad. Job, good example. Especially when things, like I said, it's easy to rejoice in the Lord always when things are going well. But not when they're going not so well. Need to stay focused. Trying to have the right attitude. Certainly, count our blessings like we talked about before, the abundance of the things we do have. Not only as people, Americans, whatever, but especially as Christians and the spiritual things that, spiritual blessings that are unique to faithful Christians. We sometimes sing the song, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through." Do we view things as problems or do we view things as opportunities? Certainly not emotional. I mean, our initial emotional response, aggravation, problem. Is there an opportunity there? Perhaps. And ultimately, like we talked about downstairs in our adult class with Job, there's got to be trust there. Right? Trust, faith, confidence in God that he is ultimately in charge. Righteous judge, and ultimately things will work out okay. Maybe not for a while. Maybe not in this life. But ultimately, eventually, yeah, things will work out. Things will be okay.
Things will be okay. And this too shall pass. Right? That's the lesson. Not an easy one. Like I said, and we can talk about the things that are easy to be thankful for, the things that are easy to be grateful for. But as we've talked about tonight, there's a lot of things that kind of challenge our adoption, incorporation, behavior of the kinds of scriptures we've viewed. But, and this too shall pass. So in terms of, first principles, we certainly haven't talked about that tonight. But certainly, as we do at every service, we offer the opportunity to respond as appropriate, whether it is to, obey Christ in what might be called primary obedience to become saved, etc. Whether it's to confess sin, if that's appropriate, public sin, if that's appropriate. Maybe it's encouragement to keep on keeping on. Small side note, you could probably look at, I think, just about every family here, in one way or another, one of these things or more has, and in some cases continues to, impact just about everyone in this audience, at least from a family perspective. And sometimes that can grind you down, and sometimes you just need to say, hey, ground down by this, need some help. Anyway, whatever the case may be, if you want to respond, you will be given the opportunity to do so as we stand and sing.